Welcome to episode 314 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, May 2nd, 2018. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Jay Tripp.
Hello. Hi.
Fresh off the heels from a trip to Chicago, I hear.
That is right. WordCamp Chicago was this past weekend. I gave a talk. I saw some talks. It was a good event. You missed out. You're so close. Why didn't you come?
Well, I don't know. I started thinking about it that, you know, I got that thing with planes and then my wife enjoys Chicago. I wanted to bring her, but we just got the new dog, and I didn't really want to go through the process of finding a dog-friendly hotel. And even if we found, like, I've never used Airbnb before, so I haven't messed around with that. And I don't know. I didn't want to mess with any of that. And I was also thinking about maybe just getting a rental car because we only have one car, and my wife needs to go to work. So I was going to get a rental car and drive out to Chicago. And I said to hell with it all, and I didn't go.
It's easy to talk yourself out of stuff like that with dogs and everything. We've done that too. It's hard to find a good Airbnb with dogs. Carrie and I like to bring Penny and Paul along with us too, and that is not the easiest kind of trip to have because a couple of times we've gotten an Airbnb and then you're on like the fourth floor and you have to take the dogs up and down, inside and out. It works out fine, but it's not the most convenient way to travel, that's for sure. So I get it.
I missed out. Chicago is one of my favorite camps, and I'm not a fan of big cities, as listeners will know, but I'm a fan of Chicago. It's a cool figure.
Was it last year you went?
Yes, I was there last year.
I had memories of sitting down in the, not the first floor where you kind of walk in, but the second downstairs floor hanging out with you last year.
Yes. Last year I went to a Cubs game. That was cool. Got to hang out with some folks. It was cold that weekend. No, I didn't go to a Cubs game. That was the year before. So last year I brought my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year.
It was cold this year too. The cold and windy. It was 40 degrees.
I wish they would have WordCamp Chicago later in the year because it's a beautiful place to walk around and with the river walk.
And so I gave a talk on the fourth wall of WordPress is what I talked about. Do you know what the fourth wall is, Jeff?
What's the first three?
Well, the first three, it's a good question. And that's actually why it's called the fourth wall.
Okay, thank you.
The first three walls are set up like a stage, right? Imagine a play where there is a stage in front of you. The fourth wall is the wall between the actors and the audience. And so my poor analogy, but, you know, the audience seemed to understand, was that there is sort of a fourth wall. So, you know, when you watch a TV show and someone looks you dead in the eye, like someone on TV, like talks to the camera, that's what breaking the fourth wall is. It's those kind of little nods where sometimes it feels, it brings you in. It makes you feel like the actors or that the show you're watching like is looking directly at you. Or like when you're watching Saturday Night Live or some kind of live skit comedy type show and they start cracking up and laughing. It makes you laugh just because they're laughing. Or like comedians like Dave Chappelle or Chris Rock that laugh at their own jokes because they like crack themselves up so much. Like it's those little nods that break the fourth wall, I guess. They make you feel like you're part of something great. And so my talk was largely about what that means for WordPress or like clients, users, and when it might be appropriate to let people into what the development process is and when maybe it's not super appropriate to let people into what that development process is. You know, like it's like the before the show and the after show. Like, do people want to hear us prepare for the show? It kind of breaks the fourth wall a little bit. Like our job is to entertain folks for an hour in this podcast. And beforehand, when we're catching up and afterwards, we're having a different conversation. And so some folks might think that's interesting and some folks may not care about that. So contributing to core, writing plugins, client services, web hosting services or websites for people, there are all chances there to decide how deeply that you want to bring someone into your process or whether to bring them in at all. Maybe they're paying you for the opportunity to not know how the sausage is made. Maybe they want to see what the process is. And so, I talked a little bit about that and how it works with open source development, some government stuff. It was a good time, relatively, I think, well received. My only problem, though, is that I didn't get my talk title or description in time, and so I was still TBD on all of the printed literature and paperwork. So
people didn't know what to expect.
People didn't know what to expect.
I know, yeah, I know you pretty well, and I don't even know what to expect.
So it was a fun talk. And then
any notable questions during the question and answer period?
So the only real notable questions were mostly about like government stuff. Yeah. You know, not really about core, not really about WordPress stuff. It was mostly about like the stories I told about some of the stuff going on locally here and what we're deciding to do and how we dealt with it and everything else.
I figured out what the fifth wall is.
What's that?
Gutenberg.
Okay.
All right.
It's a wall made of blocks.
Yes.
And you have to break your way through it somehow.
That's right.
There's an analogy there.
It's like so breakout.
So that was the thing with my talk in Chicago was it was something that I like coming up with the ideas and kind of giving the idea out to the world and seeing where people take it. And so hopefully if people liked it, they'll talk a little bit more about it or we'll see more talks about it.
Do you have any deep dish?
I'm sure. No. So I'm trying. So Carrie was disappointed in me because I'm trying not to eat dairy. Did I say this last week?
Wow. So I'm not. You live in Wisconsin. You're trying not to eat dairy. Wow.
You don't have to tell me that. It is not easy to avoid. That is a fact. So no, mostly no milk and no cheese. And I'm trying pretty hard to stick to that pretty strictly. And it is not easy because there is cheese and whey and milk and dairy in everything. So,
hey, if somebody tries to take Swiss cheese away from me, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, yeah. I believe it. But I have, I'm one of those, TMI, I guess. But yeah, I'm one of those folks where milk kind of makes me phlegmy and kind of sinusy. And I just can't. I think it's a source of, you know, it's like everything that says online. If you look it up online, there's a lot of information. It's not a health class today, but there's a lot of information about you know, inflammation and lactose intolerance. And you don't really know what those things mean until you start kind of whole 30-ing yourself and trimming out foods. And so, not drinking milk, not having a latte every morning, not having a deep dish cheese pizza, which, you know, Carrie's disappointed about because she really wanted to go and we didn't really make time or prioritize it. I will go, but I wouldn't eat it, even though I know it's delicious. So we'll have to go back and do it. Maybe we'll go tomorrow. We're going to be in Chicago again tomorrow, or at least in the area. So,
good luck with your plans. Good luck with not eating, going dairy free. Me, I'm going to eat and drink until I die. In fact, it will be the cause of my death, and I will be. I am okay with that. I will be content in my coffin with. I will be filled with food and drink, and I will be fine.
You know, I have seen you eat and drink, and so those are two things I know for a fact that you're very good at.
Wow. All right. Well, with that, I think we should get into the news.
And I'm going to see you maybe at WordCamp Kent, right? Since we're talking about WordCamp.
All right, so we're talking about WordCamp here, and I was just checking out the WordCamp schedule upcoming. And there's WordCamps in May, Germany, Brazil, Italy, Mexico. There's a WordCamp Cancun in Mexico.
I am jealous, and I would love. I think I got an invite to that one, but they like deadlines and software and EDD sugar calendar stuff. It's kind of not the right time to go
Spain,
and do this.
Slovakia, Northern Ireland, Russia, Japan, all over the world. And then WordCamp Kent, Ohio, would be June 9th and 10th. There's still tickets available. I will be at that event. You know, it's right in my backyard. Got to go. And
have you ever
later
given
at the end of
talk,
I've been on panels. I haven't given a one-on-one talk, but I have been on panels. I have moderated a panel before.
Would you give a talk?
I don't know. I've thought about it, and I've thought about, you know, what would I say, how would I present it, and I just I don't know.
I would love to see you give a history of WordPress type talk, or history of the tavern, history of the community. Like, there's lots of good talks I think that you could give that would be really, really interesting that nobody else could do.
And so
you're just like, whatever. I don't know. Not doing it.
We'll see if. Well, I'd have to check my profile on WordPress.org. If I don't have the speaker's badge for my profile, maybe that's something I'll have.
Oh,
I could do. I could work on. But yep, I think because I participated on a panel, I probably got a badge. No, you can't do that. Don't use your. That's abuse of power. And at the end of June,
I would never do that.
Grand Rapids, in Michigan, and you'll be you plan on being at WordCamp Grand Rapids, right?
We are going to be at WordCamp Grand Rapids June 30th, right? Is that
June 30th. And I remember a few years ago going to Grand Rapids, and I thought it was a cool city.
Because, it is super cool.
You know, it's like the right balance for me of being open and having space with the river going through downtown, yep, and actually being within a big city with big buildings. Yep. So you can have sort of the best of both worlds. It's not this huge metropolis. It's not Chicago, but it's kind of like the sweet spot for me.
Let me tell you why I'm excited for WordCamp Grand Rapids. One, because we've all been to Grand Rapids. You and I were in Grand Rapids and had a good time a couple of years back. That was a lot of fun. It's a beautiful city. One of the things I noticed when we were there is just like how clean it is. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a very clean, everything's very nice. The location is a beautiful venue. The team that runs it they do an outstanding job running the event. It's like a good size, a few hundred folks, 250, 300 people, I think, is usually about what it is. You have great food. Grand Rapids has great beer if you're into that. Lots of really good beers that are hard to find and get in other places.
Mad Cats, man.
Yep.
Oh, no, Hop Cat.
Hop Cat.
Not Hop Cat. I always get that confused. It's Hop Cat with the crack fries. Hop Cat.
Yep. And, I forgot about those. Oh, yeah. See, that's why I know you can eat some crack fries. I watched you do it. But this year, Grand Rapids is doing a WordCamp that is specifically about plugins, tools, and services. Really? I'm gonna be keynoting their event this year because I accidentally sort of maybe asked or hinted that I really think it would be great to do a plugin or services or tools specific type.
Well, I mean, you brought that up back when we remember was it Plugin Camp?
It was
everything you could do wrong about running a WordPress event.
Yeah,
but right. You said the idea was sound that you wanted to see a WordCamp actually.
So this is basically plugins. That. Yeah, Kate DeRosia and their organizing folks, everyone over there has decided to give it a try, and the foundation seemed to be all right with it, and so all the speakers and all the talks and everything should be largely focused on plugins, tools, and the services that people build around WordPress and those various plugins and tools. So hopefully we'll have some good WP CLI talks, some good plugin developers will come, some folks that run businesses using or selling plugins. There's just so much out there that on the agency side of it, building plugins for clients and services, there's just a lot of opportunity there to give a lot of really great talks that are specific to extending WordPress.
And you're going to give a keynote on GDPR with plugins, right?
No, thank you.
Come on, that's your area of expertise. No,
that is my area of occasional grumpiness. I know more about GDPR than I wish I knew. That is generally how I feel about the GDPR right now. And I don't even really feel like I know what I'm talking about in regards to it compared to folks like Heather and everyone else that's in the compliance channel. So shout out to them, too, for all of their insanely hard work going into everything.
Speaking of Grand Rapids in Michigan, congrats to Mr. Kyle Maurer, friend of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
He does the Get Options podcast with Adam Silver.
Hi, Kyle.
And he will be keynoting WordCamp Kent, Ohio.
That's awesome. That. I saw that, too. It's super exciting.
All right, so
Kyle was just at MicroConf too. I don't know. A bunch of WordPress folks went to MicroConf. I don't know. I didn't go. I haven't seen anybody's updates, but maybe someday I'll be hanging out at MicroConf with other people too.
Perhaps. So we got a couple things we want to get into. A couple things have been happening here in the WordPress community. There's always at least a couple of things going on. The first is a new crowdsourcing project by Daniel Bachhuber. He launched a Gutenberg migration guide. So Bachhuber is seeking the community's help in identifying and filling a database to document all of the ways the classic editor can be customized. So he's asking people to take a look through the migration guide, which we have a link to in the show notes. And he says for each action, filter, and so on, they want to document real-world examples of how they've been used. And then for each of those real-world examples, identify how the feature might be replicated in Gutenberg. And he uses the media buttons action as an example, which is something that's commonly used to add a button to the top of the editor. Mm-hmm. Well, if you look at the migration guide, developers can accomplish the same task in Gutenberg using the block inserter. So that's just one of the many suggestions. He says, if you have any questions or suggestions on the project, you can create a new issue on the GitHub project. And again, this is being crowdsourced. And hopefully, if we get enough people involved in this project, it'll help a lot of developers out on accomplishing some of the same things they do in the classic editor, but in Gutenberg. Mm-hmm. And I saw some feedback on Twitter a couple of days ago about some of the blocks that are being created right now. And I think it was by Scott Kingsley Clark, and you mentioned how there's not a whole lot of abstraction going on that could be in blocks. And blocks, mm-hmm. right, we're still at a point now where blocks are doing a lot of things that they were doing before without taking advantage of what blocks have to offer.
That's true. And this type of project from Daniel is really important at identifying the gaps. Like we've talked about in the past, it's a little concerning at how many gaps that exist where there just is no direct Gutenberg equivalent for doing what we were able to do previously. Hook in before and after things, it's just not an option anymore, which is kind of a trend. I mean, between the GDPR, the PHP notice, and this, there is a trend of none of this stuff having the hooks in place in order to make them extendable or usable by the way that plugins would generally use them. So this kind of project is important at identifying those things, whether or not they help or make a direct impact with the decision or the code that ends up in WordPress core is kind of up to all of us. But we won't know what we're missing out on until somebody looks and says, here are all of the things that we're missing out on. So kudos to Daniel once again for taking on a project that nobody else wants to take on, I guess, because it's a huge, huge undertaking. So excited to see where that'll go.
And in an effort to streamline the WordPress theme review process and take some of the burden off of the reviewers, the WordPress theme review team has launched a trusted authors program. Now, the program is for theme authors who consistently submit themes that follow the WordPress theme review guidelines and have three or fewer issues in multiple areas. Applications and approvals will be handled by team leaders only. So not just anybody can approve a theme author to be part of this program. In order to apply for the program, theme authors need to select a ticket for the team to take into consideration, submit it as a comment on the announcement post, and this can either be a recently approved theme or a ticket in the new or final queue. And if you're interested in being part of this program, definitely check out the announcement post because it contains a lot of information and some additional considerations your theme will need to comply with in order to be part of the program. And as with any program, of course, there are consequences for breaking the rules. And something that kind of stood out mm-hmm. to me is within the announcement, the notes, the team says that they will not take into consideration active install counts, how old a theme is, or a theme author's financial distress, and that suspensions will be given without hesitation, which is not surprising to me because they've already shown their ability to do this last year when they took Zero Flight off of the WordPress theme directory, and that ended up costing, it affected up to 300,000 users, but it cost its parent company, ThemeIsle, $70,000 a month, $75,000 a month in lost revenue.
Yeah, ridiculous. So what do you think? What do you think about this? I was shocked to not see more than one comment on the Tavern post. When I read this, thought that there may be more, but I'm sure there will be. You just published it today, right? So
this is something I've seen suggested over the years, like a badge or a trusted theme author or something to that effect, where you know these certain theme authors who comply and are generally pretty good with what they do can can streamline through the process. It's like a TSA, you know, the fast check line at an airport.
Oh, God. Come on, come on. Started on that.
Come on through. But, then again, you have to pay to be part of that program anyway.
You have
but
to pay. But it's this, crap anyway.
But I think this is, a good idea, and hopefully it lessens down the queue, lessens the burden on reviewers, because they know that the people who are already part of the program have already proven that they belong there. And of course, there are going to be random and frequent post reviews on theme authors that are part of this program, and the consequences for folks already part of the program are, I think, are a bit more severe than, you know, just your typical right. theme author wanting a review. But I think it'll go over well. I think it'll be okay.
Do you think it's a good idea?
Yeah, I like it. I think it's something worth trying. You know, this is the first time they're doing this, so I think it's worth exploring this to see how it works, how it happens, and if they can get that review queue down to something a lot more manageable, which they've already actually done. Some of the recent improvements, they've gotten the review queue down to like 2 or 3 weeks, which is a huge improvement. So if they can streamline that even more, you know, it's a benefit for everybody.
So do you think the plugins team should do something similar?
I think plugins, I don't know.
Yeah. Because I wonder,
there's a lot of things that just go through my head really quickly about plugins, like, you know, the iterations that they do in terms of, you know, having to do a post review on that, trusted author, what, you know, begin to trying to figure out what that means. Of course, the theme team has done this with what they're looking for in their qualifications. I guess the plugin team could do this as well, but I don't know.
Right. And so that's where I think this solves a good and interesting problem for the theme team, because they had that backlog, and this is a good way to kind of unclog a part of that, to go, okay, we know you're good. We'll let you go and kind of be somewhat autonomous. You're trusted. You're whatever. You're a leader. We know you're going to do what's right no matter what. And there are some folks, with myself, a little bit more familiar with the plugin side of it than on the theme side of it. But there are several folks I would think of that if they try and put a plugin in the WordPress.org plugin repo, I wouldn't even really bother with a review, because they have been around a long time. Every plugin that they've got is good. They already have dozens in the repo, you know, all of those qualifications. But then this qualification says, will not take into consideration active installs, how old the theme is, their financial distress, and so on. And so, like, what does qualify you exactly? I know what doesn't qualify, but if it's just a touch or feel that we think someone deserves it or not, which is also fine, but then is this the beginning? Are we going to look back at this thing and see this as like the beginning of some certification program where you've passed the standards, you get your badge, or you've earned this thing, and now you are allowed to you know, play its course a little bit. Everyone else is less free than you are, because you have proved that you have earned the right to be autonomous, whereas everyone else is still hasn't yet. I don't know. It's interesting.
I mean, does that sound like necessarily a bad problem or bad situation to be in? I mean, what is the negative side to that?
The negative side is, aside from just the general basis of it being a layer of bureaucracy that now this is a thing that everyone needs to achieve whatever they have to do, now they have to do it. They didn't have to do it before, and everything was okay enough. Now they have to do it in order to have everyone see that they have earned that very particular thing, right? Like, paying into WordPress.com VIP for a long time was like the way to prove that you were playing a serious WordPress ball. And so this is another way to be able to say, we as a group or me as an individual, I am certified and capable of making WordPress themes at this particular level. And so what that does is it creates levels. It automatically says I'm better than you, or it automatically defines some bucket of guidelines, some rule set that says these people have followed these rules and they're over there and you haven't. So now you're still over there. And so it divides a community. And maybe that's okay if it's intentional and controlled and it's for all of the right reasons, and maybe it'll work out fine. But this, again, is kind of a 15-year cornerstone of us deciding the free way of doing this isn't working for us. And so let's close it off a little bit intentionally, and let's open it up more for others, which is potentially dangerous.
Provide some control over the chaotic wild west.
And okay. You know, happy birthday, World Wide Web West. 25 years ago, the World Wide Web was invented 2 days ago. And so of those 25 World Wide Web years, WordPress has been around for 15. And yes. And so it is nice that it's taken us, that this didn't happen 5 years ago would have been too soon, or 10 years ago would have been too soon. It would have closed things off too quickly. But however this ends up happening or being, it'll be hard for it to not naturally be turned into some, everyone will look at the folks that have, trusted access as being, better than the others. And so they perpetually get better. It happens in all of the app stores. The app developers that are on stage at an Apple or at a Google keynote making or pushing the envelope with the best apps are the ones that get the most work or that have the most purchases, because they're the ones that are proving that they're functioning and operating at a better level than the rest of them. And so instead of evening the playing field and having this be free and open for everyone, it purposefully makes the playing field very uneven and potentially biased towards the folks that prove that they are better sooner or earlier than others. So it creates bias. It creates, and that might be good or it might not be good. So we'll see how it gets handled in the nuts and bolts and the details as the days and weeks go on.
There's no bias. This is open source. That stuff doesn't exist in the WordPress community.
Exists everywhere. Okay. It exists everywhere.
I'm just joking around. And by the way, this episode is not sponsored by Wawa.
By Wawa?
Which actually has great food. It's like a gas station chain in the southeast. Oh. Mid-Atlantic. Wawa. Which I think is what they call 7-Elevens.
That's right. I've seen them. I've seen those. I have seen the Wawas. I remember those. Yeah, they do.
Now, don't worry. Here's me again. Branching off topic to talk about food.
Carrie and I went to a Naf Naf grill for the first time. Have you ever been to Naf Naf?
Never heard of Naf Naf.
Yeah, there's one that.
Any relation to Snarf Snarf?
I don't know. That's Thundercats. That's a different, completely different thing. No, Naf Naf, Narf Narf. No, different thing. It's like a Chipotle or a Qdoba for, they have different ingredients that are kind of healthier options, I think. Like
non-dairy ingredients.
Non-dairy for me, yes. couscous, they had falafel, pita bread.
All that good Mediterranean stuff.
Yeah, no, exactly. So now I'm distracting you away from...
You're distracting me from telling the audience about WordSesh 5.
Oh, which I shouldn't distract you from, because that's a big deal. That's important. We should stop talking about Naf Naf and talk about...
So there was no WordSesh in 2017. I believe Scott may have just taken a break from organizing the event. However, it is coming back. Mark your calendars. July 25th will be WordSesh 5, and it is a virtual WordPress conference. And it's actually being organized by Brian Richards, founder of WP Sessions, and a collection of partner companies. So taking a look at the schedule, which he has published, it looks like this event is sort of like ones in the past. There's going to be a mix between sessions and a live podcast. Of course, there's Brad, lunch with Brad. He's going to be doing an episode during the during Word Sesh. And many of the other sessions are lean towards consultants and developers.
Mm-hmm.
So taking a look at that. And then Word Sesh 5 will have a virtual hallway track, which will provide different ways to get in touch with other viewers, attendees, and speakers. And he's actually going to be giving away digital swag. Now, he hasn't said what that swag will be, but we'll find out as the event gets closer. And Richards is also encouraging meetups to host viewing parties of WordSess. So if you'd like to coordinate a viewing party for your meetup or co-working space, please get in touch with him. You have to it's wordseshlive@gmail.com. You get in touch with him there. Now, tickets are not available yet, but he's got an email list that you could sign up for on wordsesh.com, and that'll let you know when tickets are available for the event. And I imagine they're going to go quick, so maybe you want to get on that list. But cool to see WordSesh 5 continuing on.
I agree.
Scott Baskard and Brad Williams, I believe, for organizing and getting it started back in 2013, I think, was the first one.
Had to be.
Yeah.
I think I've spoken at almost every one of them. And I think the last time, last year, I talked about forking WordPress was the
one. I remember that one. I actually watched that presentation. And, it gave me a whole new perspective on what forking WordPress really means.
Yeah.
It's not just a way to win an argument.
It's not. No, gosh. Oh, that's the worst way. That's the worst reason to do that. No. So yes, looks like a good talk. It's hard to imagine anybody better than Brian Richards to take this over from Scott. Brian with WP Sessions is a lot of experience.
WordSesh is essentially 24 hours of WP Sessions.
That's exactly what it is. It really is.
It's right in his wheelhouse.
That's exactly right. So are there 24 talks? Are they? It doesn't look like it. It's 12 hours so far. Is this the whole schedule?
I guess I
should pay more attention.
I'm pretty sure that's the schedule.
Browse sessions. Oh, yeah, there are a ton. Yeah, look at all this. There's a bunch so far.
I'm doing pretty good, whatever woman is asking in the background.
Maybe my mic is too hot, I guess. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I guess I'm WP. Oh, no, see, now I'm looking at the WP sessions ones. Let's look at schedule.
Okay, I just had it up here. Where did it go?
Yeah, I don't see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, I guess maybe. Pip and Sarah, Chris. Okay, yeah.
So now we're held up on this.
Yeah.
We'll
figure it out later.
starts at 8 a.m. and ends at 8 p.m. Oh, so it looks like maybe it's just 12 hours.
Just 12 hours this time. I mean, Scott practically killed himself every year for 5 years trying to do this. So Brian's probably doing this the smarter way. And there's like breaks in chat built in, 1, 2, 3, 4. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah, maybe this is the WordPress version of the Iron Man contest where you just, if you're up for 24 hours, more power to you. It's like a celebration. Like you join an elite club of learning WordPress for 24 hours.
And that's, I mean, Scott is the most elite in that club because he did it like every year for, you know. Well, cool. This is good. This will be a good format. And I have no doubt that Brian will do an amazing job.
So Jetpack 6.1 has been released. They consider it a general maintenance release. And this includes some more GDPR stuff. There's been some privacy information links that have been added. So you'll see a footer on the more info popover that appears next to each feature setting. And these link to specific sections and their support documents describing privacy implications in the event that you want to learn more about them. And there's now they've introduced a new filter that will honor the do not track feature for visitors that choose to take advantage of it. And this applies to Jetpack's own stats feature and nothing else. Mm-hmm. So if you choose, not to be tracked, you can within the WordPress.com stats feature within Jetpack. And they've also added some additional support for the Word Ads module. They've added support for the ads.txt file. And they've also introduced a new short code, which is just Word ads or Word ads, you know, depending on how you want to say the short code. This allows you to include an ad inline or on any given post or page content. And there's a couple other different bug fixes as well. So if you see an update notification for Jetpack, give it a shot. 6.1. Whoop, whoop. And last but not least, this isn't tied to WordPress, but I thought it was relevant to say.
No, super relevant.
Okay.
This is super relevant.
So Square, and this is by TechCrunch, Square just recently announced that it's reached an agreement that it will acquire Weebly for $365 million in cash and stock. And Square we recognize as a payment software processor. It's got hardware, a competitor to PayPal. And Weebly, I didn't even realize this, but Weebly was started in 2007. So Weebly's actually been around for 11 years.
It's wild,
right? Which is mind-boggling because not until at least a few years ago is when I really started to hear about Weebly and how it was a competitor to WordPress. At the end of last year, Squarespace raised $200 million of funding at a $1.7 billion valuation, which kind of gives you a little bit of insight on the two different companies. So I don't know. I don't know if they're going to call this Squeebly or, you know, what.
Oh, no. That's not good. No, my advice would be not to call it Squeebly. That would be not a good name for anything.
But Jack Dorsey, who's a Square CEO, he says Square began its journey with in-person solutions while Weebly began its journey online. And since then, we've both been building service and bridges to build these channels together and go even further and faster together, end quote. And it sounds like if really anybody should be concerned, maybe it's Shopify.
Shopify is a better target, I think, for them commercially with this. And then I thought the update in the TechCrunch article was good, too. It says, during a conference call with reporters, Square executives were asked whether the company's becoming more acquisitive. And Sarah Friar, who's their CFO, said it was more a case of serendipity and that they have been working together for a few years. And that culturally that they just feel very aligned. So that is the reason for these types of acquisitions to occur. But you're 100% right that together building websites and then handling the payment processing for them puts Square to uniquely aligned with what it is that Shopify is trying to accomplish also.
So let's do the awesome thing and read some of the comments on TechCrunch article. So we'll start off with the first one. He says, self-hosted WordPress sites are so easy and so crazy customizable that I wonder why services like Weebly exist in the first place. And to which somebody responds, I have lost count on the number of people who use WordPress who had some minor glitch take down their whole site, whereas with Weebly, I can build a whole website in 3 or 4 hours.
Okay.
And I'll just leave it at that. There's only four comments on the article, actually, but I figured I'd read those two.
You know what? That's fine. People are going to be back. They're going to go back and forth. They're going to say one or the other. There is something nice about
I hope they call it Squeebly.
Squeebly. Well, you know, that leave a comment. People are reading them. At least we're reading them. That could be your comment.
I should read that. Squeebly. Congrats to Square and Weebly on the acquisition. We'll have to see how that pans out. And, you know,
when I first read this,
Shopify,
I
hope they know that this is going on.
No kidding, right? I'm sure they do. When I first read this, though, for some reason, I couldn't let go of the fact that it was Square and not Squarespace. Like, I don't know what my problem was when I was reading this, that it is Square.
I don't think you're alone in that either.
Square acquiring Weebly seemed so, like, not a thing that I would have considered. That I felt it seemed like my head kept thinking Squarespace and not.
I saw Square. Some people say, you know, hoping that they don't call the new product Squarespace, you know, because it's already taken.
Right. But it would be like Stripe and Wix, you know, like it seems like an like such an odd pairing, but maybe that's how, you know, you get stuff done.
Weebly, I mean, maybe that's next. Maybe who knows? Maybe that, you know, because of this acquisition, maybe there will be a Stripe and Wix thing going on at some point in the future, because e-commerce, focusing on businesses and e-commerce maybe is the way to go. Mm-hmm. At least it looks that way now.
Well, and, you know, we've had the automatic WooCommerce.com. Everybody, all that is happening in its own ecosystem and its own direction, too. So there's a this very highly competitive space right now. So it makes sense for people to try and staff up and do their due diligence and acquire someone that's culturally aligned with them that fills a gap that they can't fill themselves. I mean, it's really smart, but, you know, it one makes you wonder who's next.
Who's next? No, Goldberg back in the day. All right, I won't even mention
Goldberg, like the wrestler Goldberg?
Yeah, Goldberg the wrestler. You know, he had that streak going on. He would always be asking, who's next?
Oh.
Anyways, that's the teenager Jeffro coming out of me.
Did you watch?
I loved wrestling back in the day. Attitude era, best era.
Do you watch it now?
No, can't stand it now.
That's too bad. Nowhere near. We thought about getting the WrestleMania, because that just happened last month, right? We thought about getting it online and paying for it, and then it was super hard to do from the app, and so it kept airing out and timing out, so we just gave up. But
speaking of airing out and timing out, that sounds like something we're about ready to do. That's going to do it for I don't have any other top news topics to discuss for this week. There's a lot of stuff happening. One of the things I'm noticing, there's a ton of stuff happening. We're starting to see now Web Dev Studios. They released something called WDS Black. So it's one plugin, but it's a collection of blocks like Hero Image and a couple other things. Of course, Mike McAllister of Atomic Blocks, he's got a plugin and a theme. I think actually Web Dev Studios, they also have a starter theme that works with their Gutenberg Black plugin. So we're starting to see these companies work with Gutenberg and create these plugins where they give you a collection of blocks, which again, I cannot help but think of, you know, you get a Lego set, you know, so these companies are offering different Lego block sets.
Yep.
And it's just blocks and Lego, they just go hand in hand as a comparison. That's just the way it goes. So we're starting to see that. There's a recent, I won't have a link to this, but there's a recent bug that people have been experiencing with Gutenberg where for whatever reason, each keystroke is saved as a revision. And if you don't, as you're typing a paragraph, you may notice that you go up to 100 to 200 revisions that are saved in your WordPress database. No. Now, the team is already aware of the error. They're already working on a fix for this. Hopefully it's in the new version of Gutenberg, but just one of those weird, quirky things that are that exist in Gutenberg right now that they're addressing.
And YouTube app has a bug that was similar to that, where every time that you went to search YouTube, every keystroke would get saved as a search in your search history. So you'd end up, you know, with like 57 of the same thing with one extra letter. And you can't clear all in your YouTube search history. You have to do them one at a time.
Yeah. So other than that, that's what's going on. Maybe next week I'll give you folks an update on what's happening with WordPress 4.9.6.
Yeah.
Which, from what I've read, they're trying to get that released this month, preferably before the GDPR goes into effect, because it will contain quite a few GDPR enhancements. So that'll be an interesting release.
Lots of plugin authors and theme authors are scrambling to get everything out and ready by the GDPR deadline also. So really, from now until then, was it May 15th? Is that
May 25th?
25th?
I think it's May 25th.
We're about to experience, like kind of the onslaught of software updates from everything for the next 25 days. It's going to be nutty, I think, because everyone is rushing to get in ahead of that deadline.
And John Brown, I was responding to this or reading this on Twitter earlier today, and he said that He published a tweet that says he's looking for the shortest, most concise GDPR checklist for small online businesses to go through. And he's talking about one paragraph, like five bullet points. I have hundreds of links that are just way too verbose and complicated, and I need something simple to point lay people to. And this is something I harp back on in February, where you know, I said there's so much to GDPR that it seems nearly impossible to have a TLDR version for small sites. You know, the ones with like two admins with maybe comments turned on, a contact form. And I jokingly, you know, said, do they need a data protection officer to handle this stuff? But if you look at all the GDPR checklists and the articles that are being published left and right now, everybody is this is like, if there's content marketing or content, if you want to be relevant right now, you have to be publishing something about GDPR. And on the flip side, there's so much to GDPR. I have a hard time figuring out how it could be compacted into five or six bullet points. I don't think you can do it.
I don't think you can either. Not anymore. I mean, if you're a blogger and you're not collecting data about your visitors, which seems a little rare to me these days. Like if you don't have some Google Analytics tracking or you don't have something there, it's about the only way that GDPR really doesn't apply to you. You are a blog with no comments turned on where you are not collecting any statistical data about your visitors. That those folks I don't think have very much to worry about. Like running your own blog or your own website where you're not really interacting with anybody. Once you start collecting any statistical data about visitors, or once you're dropping a cookie to try and keep people around for their convenience, you're now a little bit obligated to show what it is that you're collecting and why to your visitors and commenters and everything else. And what that means for you as a site owner only gets increasingly more complex as you bolt on WordPress plugins that have their own different types of functionality, membership sites, digital downloads, restricted content, none. It gets more and more and more complex from there.
By the way, in the past 2 weeks, how many emails have you received that says we have updated our privacy policy?
Oh yeah, like
that seems to be like the new meta. I've seen a lot of people talking about that on Twitter, forgetting about how many services they've signed up to in the past who knows how many years. But I always enjoy the ones that start off with, we value your user privacy and we believe that you should know everything we do about your data and how we use it. And okay, you know, why? Just because the GDPR is coming into effect? Shouldn't have that been like the priority before this
well, that's the you know what Heather told us when we talked to her last year. Was it last year, right? Or was it February? When did we talk to Heather last?
No, I think it was a couple months ago. Wasn't last year.
And so even still, and I mean, I know we can finish the show, but since we're talking about GDPR now, it's like a whole episode. But like we just chatted a little bit back and forth in the multi-site Slack channel. We have office hours every Tuesday. And so even something like WordPress multi-site with GDPR opens a completely other different set of requirements and functionality for how you handle user privacy. Like if it's a multi-site install and I request my information, do I get all of my information across all of the sites? Or is it only on the site that I request my data from? What if I don't know? What if I request my data from WordPress.com? Does that mean that a comment that I left on TechCrunch, because it's a VIP site, that I left 10 years ago is going to come out of my export from WordPress.com? And should it is the other question. Should meaning philosophically should, but also like, should it really like, is this really what users expect? It's really an interesting bunch of problems that we don't have answers or true solutions for. And because the GDPR code isn't really the most flexible right now, and because going across multiple WordPress sites isn't super easy. And because there is no global way to know what users have interacted with what sites in a WordPress multi-site installation, and because we don't have an easy way to do that with anonymized commenters, there are just all these technical challenges that we don't really have true solutions for. And I said in the Slack channel that it makes me miss the days when a lot of the work going into WordPress.com helped guide the decisions that were made for WordPress multi-site, because they would be building this for WordPress.com, and then we would be trickling those changes back down into WordPress core for one very specific use case, sure, but at least we'd have filters in place and overrides and whatever else. Whereas right now, most folks don't use WordPress multi-site as like a blogging network the way that .com does. And so what we would want to build for WordPress multi-site isn't really what multi-site is or is in use or would benefit WordPress.com or really .org or anything else. So we don't really have a guiding light. We don't really have a real true north with how to approach solving these problems. And so we mostly just wait and see what happens with single site and then try and adapt it to fit across multiple sites. So
the answer is backpress. Backpress is always the answer.
The backpress is always.
I figured I'd throw that in. Get a nice backpress reference in for you.
Backpress is such a good name that I'm waiting for it to eventually be like forgotten,
like public domain or something,
and then to like reuse it for something else cool again. Because backpress is a great name for
instead of retropress, we can call it backpress.
Call it backpress.
Oh, and by the way, I have to share this because I think it's cool. But Mark Jakewith, and this was on Twitter, and this is something visual, but Mark Jakewith said he was cleaning out his hard drive.
He shared
an image of the WordPress user interface back around, it might have been the Crazy Horse days, for 2.7. And 2.7. It's an interface that's cluttered. It has a lot of things around places. But as you said, it's actually not too far off from what we have today.
Mm-hmm. It's not. It's a little stylistically over the top. There's lots of icons and lots of color and places where we wouldn't normally want.
Stuff.
Yeah, but it's still really close to what we have. What we have right now, and it reminded me of an idea that I had, and that we talked a little bit about at WordCamp Chicago, while kind of just walking down the sidewalk to lunch. Is that not only the ways that meta boxes have kind of evolved and changed from every version of WordPress, they've been around for a long time. And they didn't always look the way they look now, and they weren't always movable, and they weren't always collapsible. They used to have a little minus and a plus instead of an arrow. There's lots of little changes that were subtle, but changed with the times and look pretty good. But what if there was a WP admin scheme, a color scheme to make meta boxes and the current tiny MCE editor just look more like Gutenberg? Like, what if we, instead of jumping from WordPress 4.9 without Gutenberg and jumping straight to WordPress 5.0 with Gutenberg, to instead just get current WordPress 4.9 or 5.0 stylistically looking like Gutenberg looks without Gutenberg, like the crazy everything that it is, to get users closer to the Gutenberg experience without exactly making them use a block-based editor and everything else. If we did that instead of the big jump, would that be easier for users or not? And I have a hunch that the answer is yes. I don't think that people will agree with me, but it gives us a stepping stone to say, okay, let's get people used to what this new layout is, get the meta boxes looking like Gutenberg, you know, sidebar boxes, collapsible accordions look like, and then ease people into it, kind of phase it in. If that might be a better approach instead of just dropping Gutenberg in and going, okay, brand new experience. Cause that's kind of what we did. We've iterated WP admin throughout the years, and it's gotten to be as good as it is right now through that iteration, but we haven't ever really found a ton of success in dropping huge new features without it being somewhat matchy. Media storage, comments, menus, all these things were matchy. They weren't this brand new invention. Even the customizer originally looked a little bit metaboxy, and it eventually turned into what it is now. So, yeah, thought about that in Chicago too. But yeah, that screenshot from Mark was awesome. That was like one that nobody had really seen, I don't think. So thanks to shout out to Mark for sharing that.
I kind of miss those days. I miss those were fun days for me. The crazy horse days.
Yeah,
and I've already highlighted on the show why that is, and it's just a cool time to be part of WordPress. Not cool to be part of it now. It's just
I don't know. It is cool now.
It felt to me entirely different. It felt like
it was different.
More hands on deck and more community involvement on a shared direction and vision of the project versus now, where it just there's so many people that want to take it so many different ways. Mm-hmm. There's just conflict everywhere you look. So
I was thinking about that a little bit, and you know, could probably maybe I'll end up adding bits of this to my talk in Grand Rapids, but you know, there's the reason that we all kind of disagree about stuff like this all the time is because there really is only one right answer. And if there's only one right answer, it means like every other answer is pretty much wrong. And so everyone's trying to figure out at the same time what the right answer is, which is why we disagree, because we all kind of know what we think is right. And if your idea doesn't match my idea, then you're wrong and I'm wrong. And now we don't really know what we're talking about anymore. And so you do that with checkboxes and labels and descriptions and requirements and GDPR and comments and user profiles and everything else. And like, we've taken on a lot of responsibility as a community and with software and on WordPress.org and in WordPress Core and democratizing publishing and without a very kind of direct answer as to what exactly we're doing and why, it forces us to all figure out with one another, what do you think is right? Here's what I think is right. Do we agree? Why do we disagree? And if you have to have that conversation with every word and checkbox and UI element and color and change and variable, we kind of end up with a little bit of where we are now, which is hundreds of people kind of scrambling to make even really small decisions together. So I think you're 100% right. It was a different, smaller, tighter knit group focused on a very different set of goals for WordPress. In around 2.7, it was, you know, evolving WordPress as or defining WordPress as kind of the de facto solution for powering the web or your website or whatever else. The problems that we're focusing on solving right now are much different, kind of smaller problems, but with more people.
Well, we just gotta keep improving WordPress before Squeebly eats its lunch. And with that, we're going to wrap it up here on this show. I should have never mentioned GPR, but what the heck? I know it's always good for a couple of talk.
You're a Squeebly. Yes, Squeebly.
Yeah, you're a Squeebly. It's a hidden rare Pokemon, Squeebly, or something. Who knows? It's related to Squirtle, distant relative.
It sounds like a Weasley. It's like a Harry Potter family. The Squeeblies.
Yeah. The Squeeblies. That's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all of our episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffer, JFFR0. And you, John, where are you at these days? Because like, you're trying to get the internet to forget you, but we'll never forget.
I know you never will. JJJ.blog and GitHub and Twitter at JJJ.
Okie dokie. So that's going to do it. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday afternoon for some more WordPress goodness and GDPR drinking games and who knows, privacy policy changes. Who knows? All right. Enjoy. Talk to you again next week. Say bye, John.
Bye, John. Bye, Jeff.